Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season. It is time now. We're going to get into our Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report with, of course, Alan Pupar. And you can follow him on Twitter at PuparNFL. Oh, he's got a new Expos hat too now. He's styling it, because you on Saturday you had the worn out one. Now you brought out like a newer lid out there, bro. You're gonna sweat that one up. Are you good with that?
I'm fine with it. Gotta rep one way or another, my man.
Okay. All right. Well, he'll be repping twice a week here now with the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report. And don't forget, Sports Grill has 7 great locations. We want you to check out Bird and Miami Lakes. They've been around since 1987, baby. Make sure you tell them that the Big O Show sent you, baby. All right, so Alan, you can follow him on Twitter at PuparNFL. Alan, first of all, how are you reacting to Flores saying that the X negotiations or X talking at least is headed in the right direction? What does that mean? What do you read into it?
I am reacting with a healthy dose of skepticism. My question is, if we were to ask Howard these days or his agent David Cantor, who has declined to comment on this situation, if they agree that the contract talks are quote-unquote heading in the right direction, not 100% sure that they would necessarily agree with that assessment. So it's a very vague statement. And what does it mean? Are they closer in contract thoughts? Are they closer from their standpoint to getting X to cave in and play under his contract? All I know is there's no movement. He's not out of practice again today with what Flores is saying is an ankle injury. And I'm going to use maybe ankle injury. And then yesterday, toward the end of practice, he came jogging onto the field, I think, to join the sideline. And pretty good to me, actually, for somebody who's been out for a week with an ankle injury.
Yeah, I figured that. You know, the cynical one in me is thinking maybe these guys are like, you know what? Maybe we give them a couple guarantees in the contract this year. That way it shuts them up. It keeps them happy. And then he goes out there and he plays and he forgets all about it. And at the end of the year, we ship his ass out when we know where everybody stands around the NFL in the draft and all of that. And we could get a better deal at the end of the year than we can right now. And the unknown of, even if you trade, you don't know where that team is going to end up in the draft, and it might end up being a later pick. So I'm almost, the cynical one in me is also thinking, maybe we just shut him up a little bit this year and then trade his ass in the offseason. That's the kind of progress I'm thinking that could be happening. Any chance of that?
Yeah, no, certainly. I think anything's open to interpretation. Any possibility is out there. I think the bottom line, too, Dolphins, it doesn't make sense for the Dolphins to trade him right now if they have playoff aspirations in 2021, because more than likely you're getting draft picks back. That doesn't help you this year. And doesn't take a rocket scientist or a football expert to tell to realize that there's going to be a major drop-off without X on the roster. So it benefits them greatly to try to work this out. And if it ends up being that they throw him some guaranteed money, move some money around and give him a little bit more this year, that does make sense. Then the question becomes, why haven't they done that to this point? Why have they let this drag out all the way until training camp? The situation going on right now, I'm going to guess, can't come as a shock to the Dolphins that Howard would go public with a request of a trade if he spent all the season asking for a new contract and you haven't given it to him.
It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing ends. Alan Pupar, of course, joining us for the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report. He'll be doing it twice a week here. Follow him on Twitter. You can see it right there under his mug right there at PuparNFL. All right, so how do we read into Solomon Kinley falling all the way down to the third team? And what have you seen so far in the first couple of days?
Well, the first thing I would say is I wouldn't overreact to second team, third team on the second day of padded practice. That's number one. Number two, I would still highly anticipate that he'll be on the roster come September 12th. Having said that, not looking particularly good for him in terms of his prospects of being a starter. The issue with him, I think he's too big. That was a factor last year. And that I think that contributed in part to the foot problems that he wound up having after starting off actually fairly well. Dolphins had three rookies starting on the offensive line at some point, and safe to say that early on he was probably the most impressive of the three, but then that play kind of faded, and there are conditioning concerns with the guy. I think there's still enough there that he's going to be on the roster. Like I said, though, I wouldn't anticipate him being a starter, but I also don't anticipate, or I wouldn't suggest that just because somebody else got second team reps at guard yesterday means his time in Miami is soon to come to an end.
What have you seen from Michael Dieter at center now in the first day of pads? Because I know second day just started, so it's hard to get a read. What'd you think of Dieter so far?
No, he looked fine. Again, it's the first day of practice. I don't think he'd be looking at Mike Pouncey or Marquise Pouncey or any of the dominant centers in the NFL, but I think he can be a solid piece. I think the more important guys might be guys like Austin Jackson. Rob Hunt's the guy who I have the most hopes for on that offensive line. I think he's got the potential to be really, really good. And Dieter's job is going to be to, like, help the communication, no mistakes, and hold his own when it comes to either pass blocking or run blocking. And at this point, based on what we've seen, it sure looks like he's going to be the guy at center.
So no truth that Dwight Stevenson was on the sidelines drooling at how good Dieter was practicing. No truth to that.
No, but Vince Wilfork was on the sideline yesterday. He may have been drooling looking at Dieter for another reason, but we don't want to go there. That's not very nice.
I love it. All right, so your assessment of Tua so far. I know people are talking about progress and all that stuff. And, you know, Saturday I was there, and he made a couple of nice passes. But with no pads, it's hard for me to take any of this seriously. So I trust your assessment. What do you see in Tua right now?
I see some nice throws, mostly intermediate range throws, which is going to have to be where he makes his money. If he's going to take a big step forward in 2021, it's going to be short, the intermediate throws, get it out quickly, be accurate with it, let your receivers get a lot of yak. I think there's a little bit of a false narrative that's being pushed around by my colleagues here that he's completely lighting it up when the setting is conducive to that. There's some throws that he's made, some long completions where they come after 5 seconds in the pocket where he's patting the ball and they're not stopping the play because it's practice. And then boom, there goes a long completion. Well, yeah, in a game that doesn't really happen like that. So I would say I probably see progress, but again, I would caution against fans, like, you know, like getting him fitted for his Hall of Fame jacket already.
All right. When you start looking at practice, who's the guy that really stands out to you right now? When you start to brag about, okay, well, this guy really looks good to me. I know you've seen most of the stuff without pads and only one day, and now there's a second day with pads. But is there somebody that has caught your attention on any side of the ball?
Yeah, there's three guys that I've kind of noticed, and two of them are, like, really below the radar guys. And then the one guy who, like, really caught my eye is Benardrick McKinney. The guy they got, the linebacker they got from Houston in the offseason trade for Shaq Lawson. Couldn't show a whole lot of what he does in the practices without pads because his forte is being a physical guy. But you just look at him and, man, he looks the part. That is one big dude. And then the pads come on yesterday. There's a lot of focus on the running game, and that dude's always in the backfield or the first one to make contact with the running back. So, yeah, really, again, very, very early, but really like them. And then two guys who were more so in the passing game, because, and then this is what we saw most of last week, Robert Foster, who, when he was signed, it's like, yeah, he's got gunner experience. He's a wide receiver, but mostly a gunner. He catches, he gets open, he catches everything thrown his way. And I'm like, looking at him, how do you keep this guy on the roster? Now, having said that, he needs to carry that over to the preseason and the joint practices. But if he continues on this track, you just can't keep him off the roster. The guy's been that good. And then defensively, we talk about the cornerbacks, and I will give you the name of one youngster who's kind of completely an unknown, but Terrell Bonds, play after play after play he's making in coverage, and he's got really tight coverage this morning. He had a nice pass breakup. Actually had a pick, I should say, in a one-on-one half field drill from the 20-yard line, which, as you know, heavily favors the offense because they have so much room to go. And he literally undercut the receiver on his route and picked off Jacoby Brissett. That kid's been really impressive.
So you're saying we have to start printing shirts, can't keep Foster off the roster? Is that what you're saying?
Very good. I like that.
Remember, very good. You remember Free Eddie House back in the Heat days? Free Eddie House?
Yep.
Can't keep Foster off the roster. Okay. He was the kid that made the sideline catch on Saturday, the right sideline catch. Yep. At first I thought it was Preston because I thought it was 18. I go, is that wait a minute, he's injured. No, he's not here. That's Foster. That was him, right?
That's all he's done. I mean, that's one of me. And even going back to the spring, dude was getting open, and like the first time I noticed him is he caught like a pass right near the sideline, did a toe tap job, made the catch, which like semi routine into practice, but still very impressive. Yeah, and you mentioned Preston. No, Preston nowhere to be seen. So it wasn't.
Yeah. Happening. Well, I hope they take their time with Preston and give him time to be really healthy to get out there and actually win a spot. I thought they rushed him a little bit too much last year, and then he ends up suffering another setback. He's got so much talent. Make sure he's healthy so he can have a legitimate shot at actually winning that job. Let me ask you, how concerned should we be about Noah not being the guy while X is out, and that Needham is the guy right now? Or are you not concerned about that?
No, I'm concerned whether it's Needham, whether it's Benogany, whether it winds up Jason McCord, even though I see him more as the free safety. Look, no matter who it's going to be, it's going to be a massive, massive drop-off. And not only that, it's going to hurt what the Dolphins like to do, which is get those corners on an island and then get funky up front with the blitzes and the coverages and the disguises. So it's still too early to suggest. Yeah, they're taking turns, again, at every position. So one day, Benogany is going to be the guy getting the first-team reps. One day, it's going to be Nick Needham. I haven't seen either one of them be really stand out in a positive or negative way. But based on what we saw last year, yeah, I mean, Benogany has had a major long road to go to get to, like, NFL caliber cornerback level.
What is it for you in your eyes that you think Igbinoghi is struggling with?
Well, I mean, he'll tell you himself. He's just kind of a newbie at the position. He started off at Auburn as a wide receiver last year. I can tell you one of the things that got him several times is he got caught peeking into the backfield when the receiver would just turn and look back there for 2 seconds and then zoom, he'd zip right by him. That obviously can't happen. And logically, that starts happening less and less and less as he gains more experience.
Is that's the receiver in him, isn't it? Because the receiver does that all the time while he's trying to find a hole in the defense. If the guy's scrambling or whatever, the receiver habitually has to look back there. Whereas habitually, they don't want you looking back there that much if you're the corner, right? That's kind of the way it goes.
Correct. And his instincts, it may be ingrained in him that he's looking for that ball to come out and he's peeking, but can't do that. I mean, I'm all for turning your head around and making a play on the ball, but it's got to be at the right time, and he's got to be cognizant of the fact that if he bit that much as a rookie, opponents are going to come at him with those kinds of double moves quite frequently.
We're talking, of course, with Alan Pupar and the Miami Dolphins Insider Report brought to you by Sports Grill. What happened? What's going on? What's the cheering on? Give us a play-by-play.
It's a 7-7 drill, and Tua just had a long completion down the right sideline. Looks like Miles Gaskin.
Nice.
7-on-7 drill, yep.
All right, Miles Gaskin. I like that. How's that running back position for you? Is it Miles Gaskin's to lose, or is it somebody out there that you think is going to take that job from Miles Gaskin and try to be the number one guy?
No, Miles Gaskin is going to be the number one guy. That's pretty clear cut at this point. The only question is how much action, how many touches guys like Savon Ahmed, who, by the way, is wearing a red no-contact jersey again. He suffered a minor injury a couple of days ago. He's been at practice, but he's wearing that red jersey. So Savon Ahmed, Malcolm Brown, who is not here today. I don't really think I can see Jared Doakes, a seventh-round pick from Cincinnati, affecting very much as a rookie. I think he'd be more like either end of the roster or practice squad type of guy. But without question, it's Miles Gaskin's show as the number one guy.
Injury-wise, anything we need to know?
No, I mentioned Malcolm Brown's not out here. We don't know the reason. Andrew Van Ginkel walked off the field towards the end of practice yesterday, limping. Ryan Flores told us he's day-to-day, working to get back. Doesn't sound like it's anything serious. And for still no sign of Will Fuller, who hasn't practiced since leaving early in the first day. And, of course, we have the ex-injury.
Yeah, the so-called injury with that one. Exactly. All right. What are you working on SI so folks can check you out before I let you go?
Anything and everything. I mean, the second Brian Flores' press conference is done, I'll provide a complete wrap-up of what he said, the highlights of what he says. The second practice is done, and we'll have a full rundown of the highlights and lowlights of practice, and then anything that's pertinent with the team. I mean, I'm up to about 5 stories a day on the site every day, so certainly encourage everyone to check it out.
There you go. Check it out. Poopart NFL. Check out his SI coverage as he covers the Dolphins on a daily basis, and you will catch him twice a week here on the Big O Radio Show. Alan, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you immensely. Enjoy the rest of practice.
You got it, Big O.